Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big money
at Menards. If you've been enjoying this podcast and want a super easy way to support it, you can simply find me on YouTube by searching Demon Creep. A subscription is a great help. But if you want to help the longevity of this podcast, my channel offers channel memberships for as low as 99 cents a month. Thank you, and keep enjoying the Demon Creep podcast. Hello, souls and demons, and welcome back to the portal. Today's story is called I Narrated a Murder Confession, written by Objective Tell 6047. So sit back, grip your seats, and enjoy. I guess to begin with, I had a career of narrating creepypastas on YouTube. Originally, it started out as a hobby, but I eventually got to a point where I could do it full-time and make a decent living out of it. I'd been interested in creepypastas for a few years and listened to a lot of narrators. My favorite was always Demon Creep, whenever he read stories or did Let's Plays on his channel. I had written my own stories and sent them to him. It gave me the idea of, I want to do this. So I practiced and practiced my storytelling abilities, and with some tech classes, I began my own YouTube channel. I would narrate other people's stories I found on Reddit and, on occasion, narrated my own stories. I would even post non-creepypasta-related material like music and videos. I did some experimentation with ASMR, but found that to be unlike me. My narration voice had a Let's Read or King Spook kind of quality. A deep, velvety tone with a hint of something sinister behind it, like a madman's lullaby. Sorry, I guess I got some of Liam Vickers' sense of poetics as well. Now, if you're wondering about my channel and want to check it out, don't bother. I deleted it, as well as all of my social media and fundraising accounts, and changed my email. I made sure no trace of my work existed anywhere on the internet anymore. After what I had just gone through, I felt like it was best to delete everything. To me, one story can make or break my career. You can probably guess which one I happened upon. One story I received, one that practically got me arrested, turned out to not be a story at all. It was a murder confession. Now, sometimes I would go to creepypasta.com and select stories there, but I also had a subreddit in which people could submit their stories to me. This story came through there. It was submitted by a user I didn't recognize. I can't give any details about it because, as far as I know, everything is still under investigation. The story went as follows. I was driving down a dark road in an almost blinding rain. The back road was slick and wet, that I nearly drove myself into a ditch. It would have been very easy to drive off the road and get into an accident if I didn't have my headlights and high beams on. I was listening to the local radio broadcast, being informed of some missing people from the Tri-City area. All were young women with seemingly no connection to each other. After a while, the rain had finally stopped, and I could see everything a little more clearly. The clouds overhead had parted, and the moon had revealed her rays on this back road. Up ahead, I could make out the shape and lights of a parked car on the side of the road, the blinker signaling hopefully any other traveler out tonight. As I got closer, I could make out the shape of a person leaning against a vehicle, wearing a bright yellow coat. I got closer and found that it was a young woman, standing outside of her car. She was pretty enough, to be sure. She was naturally tan-skinned with matching hazel-brown hair. Her bright raincoat was the only other source of brightness around here. The most striking feature about this woman that I had noticed before anything else was her eyes. They were the shade of green like a pair of emeralds. They were a seemingly otherworldly shade of green. "You okay?" I asked the girl. "My car started acting up and died. My phone isn't working either. Can I get a lift?" she asked with her face full of gloom. I told her I'll be happy to help her out. Those kind words brought a smile to her sad face instantly. "Oh, thank you so much," she squealed as she practically jumped into the passenger seat. I drove off, leaving her lonely car behind in the darkness. She turned out to be going in the same direction I was going, so giving her a lift wasn't too big of a deal. We rode in relative silence for a while, aside from the radio station still reporting on the missing people. She was quiet amid the reporting, maybe knowing someone who went missing or feeling uncomfortable with the subject matter. I found myself making quick glances at her. Besides the wetness of her clothing and her hair, she was pretty. "So, where are you heading?" I asked curiously. "I'm just heading home," she responded, not taking her eyes off the road. "I spent more time with my friends tonight than I should have, so I had to go back. I got hit with the rain and my car started acting up on me." "You mean just friends or boyfriend?" I asked bashfully. She turned and gave a friendly smile at me. "Just friends," she informed me. I smiled back at her. "Where are you heading from?" she asked me. "I'm just coming back from a shift," I told her. "I'm a carpet cleaner." She nodded back to me. It was a few minutes before we said anything else. "Thanks again for helping me. I don't know what I would have done if you hadn't shown up." I glanced at her, again hypnotized by her eyes. "You know, you should be really careful when hitchhiking or flagging down a ride. You don't know what kind of psychos are out there. The person behind the kidnappings could have gotten you instead of someone else." Her smile faded and she nodded. "Interesting fact. Did you know Edmund Kemper, the co-ed killer, picked up hitchhikers and killed them in a remote spot?" "Oh, really?" A look of nervousness had begun to carve on her face. "I'm sorry," I said with a sly chuckle. "I have an interest in abnormal psychology and serial killers, and I tend to blurt out facts at random." "No, it's okay, it's kind of fascinating," she said with a slight laugh. I could tell she was trying to hide her discomfort by wearing a fragile mask of politeness. Given her predicament, she had no choice but to take a ride with some random person. We didn't say anything else for a while as I drove onward. I later assured her I knew of a shortcut as I turned on another street in the backwoods area. I knew this spot very well. It was a quiet area, especially this time of night. I slowed the car to a stop, telling my passenger I made a wrong turn. I made her believe I was reaching for my phone to pull out a map. Instead, I pulled out my switchblade and shoved the knife into her exposed neck. She never had the time to respond. After pulling the knife out of her flesh, the blood flowed out of her neck like red ribbons on her skin. She began suffocating while looking at me with terror. She had exited the vehicle while losing more and more blood. I laughed, knowing full well that she'd be dead well before any help came along. All she had to go on was just the slightest bit of hope for survival. This was a sight I took delight in, just seeing how far they'd go before they collapse from blood loss and the body gives out. She had gone about 5 feet away from the road and into the clearing before her knees buckled and she collapsed under her own weight. She had writhed on the ground after making contact with the cold, damp earth. I admit she had gone farther than I expected her to. The last one never made it even 2 feet away from me before the same thing happened. I lit up a Marlboro and waited for her to finish dying. She gave some small twitches as I observed her at a distance. When I stopped hearing noises coming from her, I walked over to her still, dead form. A quick nudge from my boot informed me that she was, in fact, lifeless, aside from her eyes remaining open. I made the quick work of plucking at her green eyes and placed them in a jar I keep in the trunk. I drove off, leaving my victim behind in the darkness. Someone might find her later. I don't want to be here when they do. This story made for a short video, but it became a success overnight. I had countless views and comments all saying how real the story felt, and others making crude jokes about the murder. I admit, I even thought it was real for a second. It was as if I was observing the events through the killer's eyes. I didn't realize how real it turned out to be. It was a day or two later, late morning, when I heard a knock at my door. I opened it to be greeted by two police officers and a squad car in my driveway. They got my identification and I was escorted by them to the car. They didn't mention that I was under arrest, but rather that they had questions for me. I felt obligated to go along and cooperate. I waited in an interrogation room, complete with a simple desk, one chair, and what I assumed to be a two-way mirror. Someone might have been on the other side, deciding what to do with me. All that went through my mind was what happened that got me in here. After a long time, two people entered. The man was a burly white male in a white-collared shirt and rolled-up sleeves. I don't know what health issues he had, but sweat seemed to have glistened his exposed arms and face. The other person was an African-American woman in a purple coat and skirt. I was thinking one of them may have been a detective and the other one was an actual cop. They'd come inside and their stoic faces had stared right into me. "We understand you have a YouTube channel, right?" the woman asked. I had answered in the affirmative. They inquired about my latest video, about a murder. I told them about it and asked what was going on and why I was there. They answered me, and the explanation still gives me a feeling of nausea and freezes my blood. About 7:30 a.m. in the previous morning, two civilians were driving down Old County Road, an unpaved dirt road just outside of town. They stopped on the road due to a flat tire. While making changes to a new one, the passenger noticed a strange white shape in the clearing off the road in the grass. They had gotten close enough to see the shape better and screamed loud enough to break the morning silence. The sight was a body of a young girl, mutilated and dead. She laid still, pale and damp from a mix of morning dew and dried blood. There was an obvious knife wound in her neck, aimed right at the jugular vein so she would bleed out the quickest. That wasn't the only detail about this gruesome discovery. There were also two bloodied holes where her eyes should have been. Two red, dark caverns in a frozen face that had become home to insects. An ambulance and the police made it to the scene and began the investigation. The victim in question still had her ID and wallet with her. The killer obviously didn't want anything of monetary value from her, but I know what they did want. The one detail on her card that stuck with me was her eye color. Green. The police had other leads in the Tri-City area. There were other reports of women either going missing or being found as bloodied corpses, all with missing eyes. This killing spree had been going on for about a year now. The only two things that linked these victims together was that they were all given a ride by someone else due to car problems, and their eyes were some shade of green. This person, who they call the Green-Eyed Killer, was still at large as far as they knew. The details of the scene weren't yet known to the public at the time my video came out. The police were digging for details and clues, and somehow one of them caught my video and linked me to the murder. I told them the details about how I got the story submitted to me a couple nights ago on Reddit. They were skeptical about my explanation, but decided to keep me in a cell until they decided what to do with me. They did a search of my house and checked my laptop. After a few hours of finding the story like I told them, and finding nothing else to link me to the crime, they let me go. But they kept my computer for a while. I didn't follow the details of the investigation after being let go. I eventually got my laptop back, and when I did, the first thing I did was tell my fanbase about what had happened, and that I made the toughest choice of my life. I thanked everyone for all the love and support, and I deleted everything. My Reddit page, my channel, my social media accounts, and my fundraising accounts were all deleted. I got rid of everything because I didn't want to go through another incident like that. Worst, I hated the idea of profiting off a murder just for views. I'll end it with a warning. If you're a young woman with green eyes and your car breaks down during the night, be careful who you get a ride from. They may be the last face you ever see. Thanks for listening to Demon Creep Podcast. Don't forget to support the podcast by following it. The best things you can do is head over to my YouTube channel, Demon Creep, and drop me a subscription and a couple of views. Sharing my podcast or YouTube channel with your friends is a great help. Remember, growing is easier when you do it together. Until next time, this is Demon Creep, signing off.